In the name of the Father and of the Son and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I think one of the greatest gifts my family ever gave me was the gift of music. I don't mean the ability to sing and create music. I mean the ability to enjoy music across all kinds of genres. When I was growing up, contemporary pop music was not something we listened to. I can't honestly tell you what my cohorts in the second grade were listening to on the radio at the time. I mean, let's see, it was the early 90s, so what was it, Toni Braxton and, you know, well, this kind of stuff on the radio. But instead, in my household, we had Mom's case of cassette tapes, and we had her two crates of records, between the 33 and a thirds and the 45s, you know. And her collection consisted of Kenny Rogers, Anne Murray, Roger Whittaker, Johnny Cash, Johnny Horton, Waylon and Willie, and Waylon and Willie and the Boys, as the one long song lyric goes. She had a couple of albums of 101 Strings, which one of them was 101 Strings Plays the Sound of Music. Oh, I could listen to that album for hours. A vast collection of Christmas music by all sorts of different artists, most of them of the country version. One of my favorites, Jimmy Dean's Christmas Card. That's the album that has the song, If I Owned a Great Big House. With about the Christmas room, I'd have a room fully decorated for Christmas, and when all the world went wrong, I could go sit in there and remember peace on earth, goodwill to men. We lived in a old, huge farmhouse up on a hill north of Reed City, and the dining room was large enough that to take up space in it. Mom always kept both leaves in the dining room table so it was fully extended, and there was a chest freezer and a sleeper sofa couch, and you remember the horses on the springs on the frames? Yeah, well, we had two of those, and they filled up the space, and there was still room to run around and make forts in the whole nine yards. That table, because the dining room light was right over, that table was perfect for putting together jigsaw puzzles, which at this time of year is all we do because, you know, it was cold and nasty outside and all the snow and just grossness. And so we'd sit and do jigsaw puzzles. And they, you know, there was a built-in on the one side, there was a built-in bookshelf, and that's where the photo albums were kept, yes. And the kids' books were over here. But on this side here were all of Mom's boxes of jigsaw puzzles. 250, 500, 750, and 1,000 pieces. And we would pull one out, and we'd all take turns working on it. On the shelf about this height was Mom's tape player, her stereo tape player, and it was cool because it did auto-reverse, right? And it was always wonderful because Mom's tape sat right next to it, and so we could pick a tape and pop it in and work on the puzzle. And one of the tapes was Roger Whittaker's Greatest Hits. As a 7 or 8 year old, my favorite tape was Roger Whittaker's Greatest Hits. My classmates thought I was nuts. This is nothing that's changed over the years. Anyway, one of his songs, So Far, So Good, right? So far, so good. I never thought we ever would. It's all love songs, but the lyrics to the verses. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I believed what I was told. I believed my dog would never die and my dad would not grow old. But as a man, I realize none of this is true. Love is all that matters now, love and me and you. Oh, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Together we know we'll both pull through. So far, so good. Second verse. When I was a child, I really believed that the sun would always shine, that the streams would always run with fish that would always find my line. But streams don't always run with fish, and rivers do run dry. But I love you, and you love me. We'll make it through. We'll make it if we try. And we will. Oh, yes, we will. We love each other. That is why. So far, so good. When Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, like most of his letters, they went to an early church that was having some problem with something. The church in Corinth was no different. 1 Corinthians was Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth saying, okay, hold on. Because they were new Christians converting from paganism. They understood they were supposed to be following the teachings of Christ, but ingrained in them were all of the traditions of their previous religion. They were trying to reconcile. How do we do this and still hold on to these celebrations? How do we worship this God and this Creator while we still feel called to celebrate these things and to hold on to these biases and to hold on to these things that we've known for generations? And so Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to say, whoa, back up. All y'all have gone too far. And he explained to them, you read through the entirety of 1 Corinthians, it's explaining to them how they need to pull back from the pagan things and go back toward the Christian. We get to chapter 13 where he talks about what love is, and he's talking about agape love. He's talking about the love known to us through God, the way that God loves us, and we are therefore called to love each other. He's talking to them about this is how God shows God's love to you. This is what God's love looks like. It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't boast. It isn't jealous. It doesn't hold on to wrongdoings. Y'all gotta give that up. Translated 1,000 different times. Love, agape in the Greek, translated in 1 Corinthians 13. If you go back to the King James Version, which is not by any stretch of the imagination a good translation of the Bible into English, I'm just gonna lay that out there, it's translated from Latin. Latin was a translation of the Greek and Hebrew. It's a twice removed translation. Anyway, they translated that agape love word as charity. Well, that's got a different connotation, doesn't it? Charity is patient and charity is kind. In so many different ways, it gets the same point across. This is how the message, which is a transliteration of the Bible, a rewriting of it, as it were. Eugene Patterson puts it this way. He says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. When we talk about all you need is love, love is all you need. And we talk about how God is love, and that because God is love and all you need is love, you therefore all you need is God. It helps to understand that the love God expresses for us looks like this. It helps to understand that the love that God calls us to share with those around us looks like this. And it's important to remember that when you walk out of these doors out into the greater fallen world. Too many times, it becomes easier to go along with status quo. It becomes easier to go along with whatever half-truth or falsehood is being spread around by whomever. Whether it is about things going on in Ithaca, things going on in Michigan, things going on in our country, or things going on in our world at large. We are called to love. We are called to love those who feel unlovable. We are called to love those who are possibly least deserving. I don't know if you had a mother like mine. I'm willing to bet you didn't, and, you know. But her thing, when somebody was picking on me, which, let's face it, I was a kid who liked Roger Whittaker and Kenny Rogers. It happened. They'd be, you know, just weird and whatever, and it's okay. And I was an orc dork and orchestra and choir and whatever else. Then she'd say, "You kill them with kindness." How many other people heard that phrase? You kill them with kindness. You love them anyway. You don't give up who God created you to be to please some human. That human didn't create you. That human didn't call you into existence. And that human doesn't have any say about who God created you to be. She said, you love them anyway. You are still the kind, outgoing, caring person you were raised and born to be. Love is patient and kind, and it doesn't put itself first. It's not all about me. And I think that's the big problem, is that so many times in our society, it's me first. What am I going to get out of it? What's my part? What am I going to get? How am I going to take care of me? Me, 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 me. The only time you should say me that many times is when you're warming up for an opera. Me, 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 right? Love doesn't put itself first. Love puts up with anything. Again, like I told the kids, that does not mean you lay down and are a mat for people to walk all over. Oh, no. But it also means you don't give up being a loving person. It doesn't mean that you let the storms you walk through define you. It doesn't mean that the things that have gone wrong determine who you are. It doesn't mean that when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of darkness that you decide to set up shop and stay there. Love doesn't give up. God doesn't give up. How many times have we been told, how many times are we reminded in Scripture that God is always there? What is it, St. Patrick's breastplate? Is that the one that goes, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beside me, Christ around me? We're surrounded. I envision us walking around in these little Jesus bubbles, right? Somebody said something about wrapping one of you in bubble wrap, and I'm like, well, they're wrapped in the bubble wrap of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of love. Because we are loved by the one who created us. Because we are loved by the one who called us into existence. Because we are loved by the one who died and rose for us. And love doesn't give up. All you need is love. Love is all you need, and that love doesn't stop. Love trusts God always. And always looks for the best. It's forward facing. What's in the past, it's in the past. You cannot go back and change what happened yesterday. Or last week. Or last month. Or last year. Or in the last four decades. We can't go back and change what happened 400 years ago. Any more than we can change what we did this morning before we got here. It's in the past. Leave it there. Learn from it and continue to walk in love. Every minute, we talk about it at the beginning of the year, how it's a brand new year, no mistakes, it was a brand new book, new page, the whole nine yards. Shift your thinking. That's true every second of the day. That one's passed. You got how many in front of you? Every opportunity, every moment you are breathing is a chance to love God more. And by that, love your neighbor more. Every time you open up the computer or the smartphone and you open up Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you have the opportunity to say, am I going forward with this in love? Or am I letting the world tell me what it is I'm supposed to believe about certain things? Am I spending my time focused on the love God has for me and for his creation and the way I'm supposed to share that love with those around me who clearly, clearly need a dose of love in their lives? Or am I just going around with the rest of the crowd? Am I giving in to the temptation to be less loving? Am I giving into the temptation to be judging and jealous and forceful and self-centered and self-righteous? Am I reaching out in love to those who feel unlovable? Or am I sitting back and judging them for their lot in life? When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, and think like a child. But now that I've become an adult, I've put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. It's like going to the store where there's that one-way mirrored window. You know it's there. You know that's loss prevention sitting behind it. When you look at it, all you can see is a reflection of yourself. It is that way on this side of paradise, looking toward the kingdom. Now we see as in a reflection in a mirror, dimly. Then we shall see completely. The best we can hope for is that the reflection we see is one that almost matches what's behind that mirror. The best that we can hope for and the best we can strive for is that the reflection we see reflects as accurately as possible the will of our God. Someday we will know. Someday our journey in this world will end, and we'll get to see what's on the other side of the mirror. And the promise that Paul gives his church in Corinth when he says, now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known, is that reminder that the God who created us knows us fully and has known us since before the beginning of time. That's how strong that love is. That's how deep that love flows. That's how unstoppable the love of God is. That he knows us completely. The responsibility that comes with that is to let God be known through us. and how we love those around us. And he says, now faith, hope, and love remain, these three things. And the greatest of these is love. From my experience, it is harder to hope and it is harder to have faith when there is not love. My charge to you this day, remembering that all you need is love and love is all you need. That God so loved the world that he sent his only son to live and die for us and to rise again on the third day. To remember that God is love, therefore all we need is God. My charge for you this day in the face of all of that is to do all things through love. Why? Because you were loved first. You are loved. Yes, of course, by me, but more than that, by the one who created us. More than that, by the one who knew us before the world was formed, who knew our name before the dinosaurs walked the planet, who knew exactly where we would cross paths. You are loved. Deeply, deeply loved. So go, therefore, and love others. Because love is patient and kind. It isn't rude, it isn't arrogant, it doesn't brag, it isn't jealous, it doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. It isn't happy about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Go out and know that you are loved. Deeply, deeply loved. Amen.